The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Water is an important part of the Scriptures. There's no doubt about it. Throughout the Scriptures, we hear conversation and analogies and metaphors surrounded around water. And the Gospel of John uses water all over the place. When Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, it happens with water. It's when Jesus is talking with Nicodemus in John 3 that Nicodemus is trying to understand this concept of being reborn, and Jesus says you must be reborn again of water and the Spirit. It's in the Gospel of John that we have this account of Jesus turning hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water into the choice wine, the finest wine, at the wedding feast. We have him walking on water and calming the storm. It's in the Gospel of John we have Jesus who is washing the feet of his disciples. And one very memorable moment in the Gospel of John is the moment he encounters the woman at the well. And he comes up to this woman, this Samaritan woman, a woman who would have been rejected by the Jews because she came out of a birth that was with Gentiles. From years prior, the Jews couldn't stand the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans. And so here a Jewish man comes, not just a Jewish man, a rabbi comes and says to her, "Give me a drink." And she replies, "How is it that you, a Jew, would ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? How does it ever come to that?" And then Jesus does the strangest thing. He says, "Well, if you knew who was asking you, give me a drink, you would have offered, or you would have asked for a drink." What a strange thing to say. He comes and says, "Give me a drink," and then expected the woman to say, "No, you give me a drink." And then Jesus goes on to talk about this water he offers, this drink he offers this woman that wells up into eternal life. This drink she offers this woman that is eternal, without end, always springing forth. Now, if someone came up to you and promised you water that was springing up into eternal life, would you not be slightly interested? Right? This is like Ponce de Leon's fountain of youth that he went to search for. The problem is that fountain and any other had never granted eternal life. They dry out. They run dry. Or at the very least, anyone that consumes it eventually is parched. But Jesus says to her, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." In other places in the Gospel of John, he says, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will come streams of living water." Again and again, he is promising to quench the thirst of others. But now in our gospel reading tonight, we have him hanging on a cross, parched, crying out, "I thirst," unable to quench his own thirst. All these promises of water, even as the scriptures will say that Jesus himself is the rock which poured forth water for the Israelites as they traveled through the wilderness. The one who made water in the beginning, who made rivers flow and run, who made oceans rage and surge, who made babbling brooks. The one who turned water into some magnificent, magnificent wine. The one who tells them again and again, "Drink," he tells them, "drink up. And you'll never thirst again." And here he hangs, thirsty. and not even quenching his own thirst, he's dependent on the mercy of the soldiers who are there, that they would have enough mercy at least to raise to his lips but a sip of sour wine, of vinegar. That God would take on flesh and in doing so require water for survival. And in this moment deprives himself of that very need. Not some want, not some, a need. He deprives himself of this very need. He desires to drink. He thirsts. And he thirsts for our sake because we're all thirsty too. We don't always think about that. Because to us, water is such a simple, a basic need. We all have access to water, right? You turn on the tap, you have water, you drink it, you don't think twice about it. Perhaps you even have some fancy-dancy filtration system. Maybe your fridge magically makes water for you too. We have water everywhere. We have an overabundance of water. Anytime our water shuts down, we freak out. Fill up the bathtub. The zombie apocalypse is coming, right? But we thirst, perhaps not for water, but for other things. What is our flesh grown for? What can we not live without? What happens when we remove ourselves from different things in this world and we start to get parched in our tongue starts to stick to the roof of our mouth and that awkward, what do we go for? What comforts you when you crave? Perhaps you seek pleasure. Pleasures of this world, there's many of them. And anytime connected or disconnected from them for a moment, you go after them with even more thirst. Or perhaps you thirst for things that numb the pain. You don't want to deal with the past. You don't want to deal with your sins. You don't want to deal with others. And so you go home and you numb it all. Or perhaps you thirst for some kind of self-worth or some kind of a validation of who you are and what you've done. We're thirsty. We're all thirsty, but we're thirsty for ourselves. Selfishly craving something. It's like we're dying of thirst and here we are chugging salt water hoping it'll all get better. And in the midst of that, Jesus thirsts for you. He goes to the cross for you. He thirsts unbelievably. Not for his own survival does he thirst. Not for his own self-preservation. He thirsts for you to save you. He empties himself so he can fill you up. He thirsts so that you may never thirst again and you may find satisfaction in him. He becomes dried up so that we can find in him the river of life. He thirsts to the point of death so you don't have to die. All of this for you, to satisfy you, and to satisfy our thirst and the needs we have that we're not even always aware of or in tune with. He thirsts for you. Do we thirst for him? And there has to be some part of us that says yes, because we're here tonight. We're here tonight to receive him. Thirst is good. We don't always think that way because it's uncomfortable, so maybe we just try to get rid of it real quick. Thirst is good. You know why thirst is good? It's a reminder. It's a reminder that we need our Creator. It is a reminder that something as basic as water, something that we take for granted so often, each and every day, was made by him and is given by him. It is not our own doing. It's gift. He provides. It's a show that he provides. And thirst is then a call to trust in him, to even be disciplined, to seek not the things that quench our thirst in this world, but for a moment like salt water, but to seek after that heavenly drink. It's when they pierce Jesus that out of his side flow blood and water, the signs of the two great sacraments of the church, water and the waters of baptism, and blood as we see the Eucharist. And this is, after all, the God who turns water into wine for us. to satisfy our needs. And so even today, as we gather around the table of the Lord in the Holy Eucharist, out from that chalice flows a river that gives us a foretaste of the drink that Jesus promised that woman at the well, that Jesus promised to us, a stream that will fulfill your deepest thirst if you yet allow it, a stream that will satisfy in ways nothing of this world ever can. He thirsted for you. Just before he uttered his final words, his final breaths, he cried out, "I thirst." He thirsted for you and bids that you thirst no more, that you find fulfillment in him. Pastor Milky a few weeks ago talked about this image of thirsting, and he said, I'll preface it. I was driving to school this week, and I was telling my kids what I wanted to preach on tonight. And Desmond, my seven-year-old, says, "Dad, that's like Pastor Milky when he preached the other day. He said, God drinks our sour wine so we can have the good wine." Apparently, seven-year-olds listen. I'm like, yes, that's it. He took that. He thirsted so that we would thirst no more. So let us even now come to the flowing stream, the overflowing stream of eternal life, that our thirst may always be quenched in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.